97.5 Glory FM is your radio station for North Georgia news, sports, and weather. The information you need for you and your family. We bring you the most positive news again in North Georgia. It's 9:06 now and time for Community Focus, our public affairs program. My special guest is joining me this morning by phone, Tripp Wingate, who is one of the two candidates running in the runoff election for state court judge coming up on June 18th. Joins me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you joining us this morning. He is on the road this morning working, and so he's going to be with us by phone this morning. Looking forward to talk with you about your campaign, sir, and about you. How about, first off, for our listeners, introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
My name is Tripp Wingate. It's a dual pronunciation. Some people say Wingate. I go by either. been practicing here in Hall County for 25 years. I'm a conservative and probably the only conservative that's on the ballot for state court. And lifelong experiences have provided me with some pretty good common sense. And here to ask everybody for their support and consider me for their vote.
So tell me about your background, sir, and why you want to be a judge here in the state court judge here in Hall County.
Well, it's something that's been on my mind for years. It's not something that suddenly popped up at this stage, but they don't cycle open very often. We all see what conservative judges can do and how they have a very important role in the process of the system, the judicial system, and provide for a strong criminal justice system and use the power of the courts to keep our community safe. That's been on the forefront of my mind, particularly here lately. But this is something that I've grown up around. My father was a lawyer, so I got to be around other lawyers and judges growing up. Got to see how the judges were held to a higher level, and I always admired them both in the courtroom and out. I tell everybody my first courtroom appearance is when I was 7. My father took me to court with him to a calendar call, as I now know what it is, which is where everybody shows up and makes their announcements to the court. And he told me to sit with the bailiff and stay right there until he came back to get me. Of course, he went out in the hall, settled his case, went back to his office. And 2.5 hours later, there I am with the judge and the bailiff, and the judge is like, "Who are you, boy?" And I stand up and tell him my name. And, of course, he says, "Call John, tell him he forgot his son." And and that's how it all got started for me. But came out of law school, served a year as a law clerk up in the mountains, which was the Enoda Circuit, so Towns Union, White, and Lumpkin. Did that for a year while we were living in Gainesville. My wife was teaching in the south end of the county. So I burned up a set of tires and brakes driving up the mountains every day and couldn't make that work on the base pay. And I landed on Green Street with two fellows in September of 99. That was Alan Myers and Roland Stroberg. And I've been sitting in the same chair, the same desk, the same office ever since, working full-time the whole time. And this is not my first go at it. I tell people, of course, these don't cycle open very often. The last one that came open was about a year and a half ago when Judge Roberts retired. He retired midterm, which gave Governor Kemp the power of appointment. And there was 12 or 13 of us that applied for that. Brian Heck was one of those. I was one of those. Kelly Robertson was one of those. And went through the vetting process through the governor's nominating commission and made the short list with Kelly Robertson. Of course, she got the call, and I got a call, as I tell people. And, of course, she got the judgeship. I called her up and congratulated her. But felt honored to have made the final cut, and went back to work. And what's happened here is one of our Superior Court judges has decided to retire at the end of her term, and then Judge Brakefield made his announcement to come on into the Superior Court election. So there's the second chance job that I want and that I think I can make a difference at.
Our guest this morning on Community Focus is Tripp Wingate, who is running for the state court judge. See, first off, I always ask our candidates who are running for a judgeship to explain to listeners who may not get a chance to appear in a court like this, the differences in the different levels of the court we have here in the area. Talk about what you would find in the state court and what you'd be the cases you'd be seeing.
All right. Well, kind of back up a little bit. Every county has a superior court. Everybody's familiar with that. That's a court of general trial, general jurisdiction. No matter if you don't have any other court, you will have a superior court. And in the more populated counties like Hall County, they carve out jurisdiction from the superior court and create state courts. And so state courts take over the misdemeanor trial docket. They have overlapping civil jurisdiction, though the domestic calendar, divorces, your adoptions, child custody, that stays in the Superior Court. But the state court has overlapping jurisdiction from the civil side, and that's kind of a very general explanation. And so what I've been doing most of my career, I've been in the state court of Hall County when I've practiced in Hall County in cases that I've had here. And then otherwise you have the other courts. The magistrate court is a lower level court. It's a preliminary hearing type for criminal cases and has it's small claims court and landlord-tenant disputes in the magistrate court. And that's kind of a general, very general description of how the breakdown works.
Explain to listeners also, we keep stressing this is a nonpartisan election. You'll have a D or an R by your name, but the same point is that a judge should not have a political influence in his way he judges a case. So explain to listeners about why there's even an election going on.
Well, it's the way the rule of law works is when the vacancy comes open like this, this is what the law says and how it happened is the people get to decide in this option. Now, this is a nonpartisan race, which means, yeah, we can't declare Republican or Democrat or affiliate with either party, but it does not mean that our values are left at the front door of the courthouse. It's just like when lawyers go in to try a case, they don't say, hey, give me the first 12 people and put them in the jury box, I'll just go with them. And that's not what Hall County, the people of Hall County should be asked to do in this case. It does come down, I had a Facebook critic to say, hey, the distinction between a conservative and a liberal is meaningless. And I disagree, and a lot of people across the county disagree, because the conservative approach, like I said, provides for a strong criminal justice system and uses the courts to protect the community. We've seen instances, we don't have to go far. You can go over and look for these sanctuary cities and cashless bonds being talked about in that type of manner. But as a conservative, what I believe is that the courts are to follow the law. The Constitution is the rule of law. And it's what we all learn in elementary school. The judges have a certain role. The judicial system is there to apply the law. The legislature is there to create law and create policy. And I'm pro-life. I support the Second Amendment. And I support conservative values and conservative candidates by voting in the Republican primaries. By contrast, you can look at my opponent, who is Andy Maddox. He has in the past supported more liberal candidates and liberal values and has on 46 occasions contributed to campaigns like Joe Biden, Raphael Warnock, and Act Blue. Those are not conservative values that this county needs. So I will provide and I'll stand by the label that I am a constitutional conservative. And I will bring those values, and I won't leave them at the front door of the courthouse.
So when it comes to your ideas about conservative versus liberal, people ask this question, is it okay? Let you know, I'm blind. I cannot see. But at the same time, just as supposed to be blind, we've seen back when I could see the old days of the statue there, and you're holding the scales there, and you've got a blindfold on from the standpoint of you being blind. So describe to our listeners about conservative values compared to what the Constitution says here in the state of Georgia.
Well, conservative values uphold the Constitution and uphold the rule of law and apply it as it's stated. They don't create law. This goes back, and this is kind of a very general description, but you can go back into the arguments or the discussions that have happened between Justice Scalia and I think it was Rehnquist back. No, it was not Rehnquist. It was another Supreme Court justice on how to apply the law and how to interpret it. And Scalia was, no, you read it and you apply it, and if the legislature meant to say it, then they should have said it. Whereas, I think it was Breyer was talking about, you take a pragmatic approach, and all of a sudden, now we're going to figure out what it might should say now. Well, that goes back to the Constitution, state and federal constitutions provide for a manner for the change of law, the change of Constitution. It's not up to the courts to do that. And that's the difference, the primary difference between a conservative and a liberal approach is I can explain it. And that's a very general concept.
Again, our guest this morning, Community Focus, is Tripp Wingate, who is running for the state court judge seat with the runoff election taking place on June 18th, 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from today, and again next Monday. Early voting begins across the area. We encourage everybody to go out. The big concern right now, I would think, sir, would be the turnout. We want everybody to go out and be a part of this because you were finished number two in this race back a few weeks ago, and I know you will get everybody to go out and vote coming up on the 18th.
That's right, and that's been a very one probably top eye-opening facts for me is Here in Hall County, the population exceeds 200,000. We've got what they call 100,000 or so active voters, which means they show up periodically to vote. And in May, we had somewhere around 22,000. So 10% of the population showed up for a local election. It all starts with local elections because we're dealing with local problems. And like this case, we got a judge's race. That's local courthouse. That's local judiciary. That's how we address them when they start. And then you start talking about runoff elections, and that number is going to drop. It is expected to drop somewhere between the range of 12 to 14,000 is what I've heard one prediction, which would be surprising. But I'm hoping people will certainly go back to the polls. And if they don't have to, if they didn't vote in May, they can still go back and vote in the runoff. And people don't need to forget that.
And also for the Democrats, they are listening to us this morning, the fact that this would be the only race they'd be voting on. They can go and just, well, wouldn't take them long at all to go vote. So it shouldn't take that much time to go out and be a part of this election in a very important position. Tell everybody about really the importance of a judge and how you're going to serve everybody here in the area.
Well, the importance of a judge is they administer justice on behalf of the people of Hall County. And so people that I've been talking to want judges that are in line with their values, and that goes back to the conservative values that I bring to the table. Now, as far as how to administer justice, the state court has a tremendous caseload, and the key there is to keep the cases moving. And time and time again, I hear about judges explain the process, and the way you keep cases moving is you keep trial weeks coming. You provide, somebody gets charged with a criminal case, or if you have a civil case, you keep the trial weeks coming. You give them the opportunity to try their case, because about 90 plus percent, roughly about 96% of civil cases settle, and a lot of those happen the week or two before trial. A lot of times, same thing happens with a criminal case. You have the plea day, which is initial, where everybody will plead not guilty and then get into the sharing of information. But once you get to a trial week, a decision gets made. And that's how you keep the case moving, and that's when the experience that I can bring to the state court of Hall County is, like I said, when I've been in Hall County practicing law and have cases in Hall County, I have been in the state court. If I'm elsewhere, counties don't have state courts, I'm in their superior courts, but I've been trying cases since 1999 and very familiar with the rules of procedure and rules of evidence. I'll play some catch-up on the criminal side because I've spent probably 15 years focused on civil litigation, but the base core knowledge is still there. A lot of my cases parallel the criminal cases on the civil side, and something I'm very comfortable stepping back into, and we'll certainly come in prepared, and do my effort to continue the learning process throughout my career.
Again, you're looking at misdemeanor cases that basically you would be seeing, because that's what the state court judge would see, right?
That's correct. And misdemeanors, give everybody a better definition, that's a crime that's generally punishable up to a year in jail and up to $1,000 fine. Sometimes that can be a little bit more than that, depending on how they're charged. That's where the bulk of the criminal cases begin, or people's criminal problems are handled, as they start off with misdemeanors. And what you're trying to do is prevent them from escalating further. And, of course, throughout time, we've seen the development of alternative courts, like DUI court in the state court, which was a development by Judge Wynn 20-something years ago. It had great success because what you're trying to do is break the cycle of addiction. But there's still the punishment aspect of a case and the deterrence aspect of a sentence that you're trying to prevent not only that individual from coming back and making the same poor decision, but trying to keep other people in the community from making the other poor decision. So you're trying to break the cycle community-wide, so it's very important. From to handle these criminal cases, particularly early, and get active in these people's lives and break the cycle, prevent it from happening again, or doing the best you can, and prevent these from escalating to a felony charge down the road. Heard a Supreme Court justice speak. This was a couple of months ago, and back when she was serving on a trial level judgeship. She was explaining that this is to be a felony-type charge. You have these 16, 17, 18-year-olds that get charged with armed robbery. And armed robbery carries mandatory sentences, so you're sitting there looking at somebody that's going to serve 20 years in prison, and who's going to raise those young men, the prison systems? And so what she did was she came up with some sort of alternative program and got the support of those around her, and she was doing her best to break the cycle. It was not an easy program that she developed and purposely made it hard, but the goal was to break the cycle and prevent repeat offenders. And that's key to this process, and that's the reason I say state court is very important in that aspect, because that's where a lot of the people, a lot of the defendants, criminal defendants, have their first cases. So address the problem early and then try to get them steered in the right way.
Just curious, is there a large percentage of cases that will go to a state court judge that basically go back to drug use?
I don't know the numbers. I can tell you the problem is, yeah, you do see any problem with addiction, you see a cycle. And, you know, a lot of us have experienced addiction, whether friends or family or wherever, or seen it firsthand. Addiction is hard to beat. So when you're talking about drug use, alcohol use, it tends to come right back. You get them all, get people on the right track, and then until they can break the addiction and break the cycle, it tends to be a repeat offender. And that's the key in the development of the DUI court, and we have drug court as well up in Superior Court, trying to break that cycle. And so that's. If you read the numbers, that both of those programs have enjoyed very high success rates and still producing. I think they had a graduate, I can't remember which program, a couple weeks ago that was in the local paper celebrating the success rate there as well. And so I'm a supporter of the alternative courts to that aspect. People ask me all the time, well, what about the punishment side? I'm a firm believer that the punishment side needs to be there as well. But when you look at the overall scheme, this is something that's going to continue to develop. And the alternative courts need to be adjusted with time. I think the judges have done a great job so far addressing it and trying to come up with solutions and realizing that the justice system is not perfect, but we got the best one in the world.
Again, our guest this morning on Community Focus is Tripp Wingett, who is running for state court judge. The runoff election takes place 2 weeks from today on June 18th, early voting beginning next Monday on June the 10th. As I mentioned, to start things off, of course, our listeners, we never want to go in and see you in work there in the court. So people ask the question, is all the cases, are you the one that makes the decision, or is there ever a jury that you would have seated for a case?
Well, you can have bench trials or jury trials in state court. That's up to the parties. In a criminal case, most of the time you'll have a request for a jury trial. Most civil cases, you'll have that as well. Civil cases can be unique in that they can have 6 or 12-person jurors or juries. But it's up to the strategies employed by the parties and their lawyers. But plenty of times you walk into state court and you'll see the judge up there on the bench and the parties there, and there will be a bench trial. It just depends on the facts of the case and how the parties feel it's the way to proceed with their case.
We mentioned about how many cases are out there. Didn't mention particular numbers, but is there a backlog of cases at all right now in Hall County?
I don't have the numbers. I can tell you from experience. So when COVID shut everything down and all the precautions were put in place, trials just came to a stop, and then we could have minimal interaction at the courthouse. Hall County is one of the best counties that handled the COVID situation well. And it's handled the backlogs. In state court, the judges that we've had have done a tremendous job. I don't know that there's much, if any, of a backlog left. I can tell you in other counties that I've practiced in, you go north, east, and different directions, they are still experiencing the backlogs. Especially what's happened is priority's been given to the criminal cases. You've got constitutional rights in play in those cases, so they're given priority. And civil cases have been bumped and kind of sitting on the back burner. That's not been the case in Hall County. As soon as things open back up, or could be open back up, our state court judges got back in action, put it back in high gear, and have been rolling through the cases ever since.
Tell me, if you are elected coming up in 2 weeks for this position, how do you work with the judge? Excuse me. How do you work with the lawyers that you know that you'd be seeing in cases?
Well, it's the same people that I've known my entire career, and it's no different than any other judge that's ever served. And what happens is in a community, you've only got a certain number of lawyers, and you've got other lawyers that come in and out from outside of our area. But we've all known each other and known each other my entire career. I will remain a neutral sitting on the bench if I'm so elected. And, but the decisions aren't easy. Once I've heard the quote, it's like calling balls and strikes, but that's not an easy job either. Angel Hernandez just got let loose from MLB. But if you're talking the context of the court system, the canons of the judicial code say that you're to maintain impartiality, integrity, and independence of the court, and I will do that. I will call them as I see them and be as fair and impartial as I can to everybody. That's what's required and what I'm committed to doing.
How about when it comes to the workings of the court? Would you have a staff you'd be working with? What kind of budget would you have, do you know?
I haven't looked at the budget lately. The last time I looked at it, it's been several years ago. But for state court, generally the staffing provides for one assistant and then a law clerk or staff attorney, as they now call them. And what a staff attorney or law clerk, I served as a law clerk coming out of school somewhere after I came out. They changed the name. But what that person is generally somebody who's come out of law school and graduated maybe a year or fresh out of law school. Somebody that comes in and helps research, write, argue with the judge, point, counterpoint, that type thing, even propose orders that for the judge's review. And then you have the assistant who does a little bit of everything, keeps the office running, keeps it organized. And that's a very limited staff for the caseload you're talking about. You compare that to the Superior Court staffing. You have a judge, a law clerk, and then two assistants. Different duties handled by both of them, but if you come down to state court, you've asked one person to handle those same two duties. And so otherwise you've got a court reporter who's on staff who has to be there at certain times and other times doesn't. That's generally the staffing of the Hall County State Court. Each judge has the same staff, and here in Hall County we have three judgeships, so that would be in parallel with one each other in each courtroom.
And I guess the standpoint is that some judges have reputations of being stricter when it comes to punishment, as you mentioned earlier, that kind of thing. But you have that leeway of a lot of civil cases, especially in some misdemeanors, about how you can work with a person who's convicted, for example, who ends up being guilty, about what kind of sentence they get, right?
A lot of it depends on the statute that's being charged. But, yeah, judges generally have discretion on how they will handle their sentences. Like I said, misdemeanors, you're talking about up to a year in prison and up to a $1,000 fine. That fine can go up depending on how or what is charged. And then you've also got leeway on civil cases. Not as much leeway. But in both aspects, you're required to follow the law. The judge's role is the gatekeeper of evidence and the presentation of the case, residing over the trial. And so on the criminal side, once the jury makes its decision, if the results in a guilty verdict, then it's up to the court to impose the sentence. On the civil side, and this is a very simplified approach description, the jury comes back with its verdict, and then the judge enters the judgment. There could be some post-trial motions which have to be handled in either situation, and those would be for the judge to apply the rule of law to and make the decision.
Well, as we wrap things up this morning with our guest, Trip Wingate, who is running for state court judge, I'll let you talk to listeners, sir, for the last minute of the program and tell them why they should be voting for you, sir.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate it if people in Hall County would consider me for their vote. Like I said, I will not leave my conservative values at the front door of the courthouse. I'm asking for your help. This is a time when conservative values certainly play a critical role in our communities. You don't have to look very far to see what happens when we have liberal prosecutors and liberal judges serving their communities. Hall County does not share those same values, and I will not leave them at the front door of the courthouse. I do not walk in there a blank slate. I will apply the rule of law. I will apply the law. I will not create it. Like I said, I'm a supporter of pro-life. I support conservative values and conservative candidates. My opponent is the opposite. and our track records show that. Early voting starts June the 10th. We have three polling places, and then runoff election is June the 18th.
All right. Again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. Look forward to talking with you later on. Again, it comes up on June 18th is the election. We'll have his opponent, Andy Maddox, joining us tomorrow morning here on 97.5 Glory FM as we bring you the information you need for you and your family. We got much more for you coming up next with the latest state news from the Georgia News Network.